Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and we are in the Christmas season. You know, they say Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, he's the reason for every season. He's the reason for every month, every week, every moment that we live. He is our purpose. He is our all in all. He is our reason of being. And so we celebrate him, his birth, this season. And in doing so, we're going to be talking about three women that surround the Christmas story, or rather the birth of Christ. And those three women are Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Anna, the prophetess. Now, today we're only going to be talking about Elizabeth. And I want to ask you something as we are going to address these questions in this particular episode. Have you ever felt judged by God, that God is judging you because your prayer is unanswered? Have you ever had a difficulty rejoicing when other people are getting blessed and somehow you are in a different place and it's bringing up envy or jealousy? Is that you sometimes? Well, we're going to talk about some of these things today. So as we talk about Elizabeth, the story of Elizabeth is found in Luke chapter 1. It's the only place in the Bible it's found, not in the other Gospels. And who was Elizabeth? Well, just before we start reading scripture, Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah the priest. She was also the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she was the mother of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, of course, we know Jesus spoke of him saying, "No greater man has there ever been born of a woman." And so clearly, Elizabeth holds a very special place. So let's look at scripture. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. And I love reading scripture. I don't like to bring a synopsis of the story, because many times just a synopsis can take away from the power of the word. So let's read it together as we go to Luke chapter 1, beginning from verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Praise God. An incredible portion of scripture. And we see, of course, that God certainly had his hand on Zacharias and on Elizabeth. Excuse me. And when we look at the name Elizabeth, Elizabeth means God is my oath. That's what it means. And we will see in this story, as we talk about it, that God surely fulfilled his promises through Elizabeth, an incredible portion of scripture. And so who was Elizabeth and Zacharias? Well, they were both of the Levite tribe, a priestly tribe. She was part of the daughters of Aaron. And so we know that priests had a very special responsibility, a special function. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7 says, we're told the Levites were called to special responsibilities regarding teaching. The Bible says here, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Now, that just goes to show you that Elizabeth, coming from the tribe of Levi, she undoubtedly grew up with the knowledge of the Lord, was taught in the ways of the Lord, and even grew stronger by marrying the man that she did, Zacharias, who was teaching with wisdom. And we know here in Luke chapter 1, let's look at verse 6 and 7, it says here, "Both Elizabeth and Zacharias were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years." Such an incredible testimony that they left behind. They were godly people who walked in the ways of the Lord, and an incredible testimony, but part of it was sad too, because they didn't have any children. And we know that back then, especially, that was almost the entire purpose of a woman's existence, was to bear children. So you can only imagine how this defined her life. Her being barren defined who she was. And so there they were, praying and hoping and trying and waiting. And good enough. One day the angel of the Lord speaks to Zacharias, and there was a special surprise for Elizabeth awaiting for her in her late twilight part of her life. Can you imagine? So we see that in the same chapter, because Luke chapter 1 is a very long chapter, and right after that it begins talking about the angel Gabriel then visiting Mary and letting Mary know that she will have a son. And she asked, of course, how is this possible? Now, we know that she would conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the angel of the Lord said in verse 35. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Notice that, who was called barren. So there's the labeling. There's the fact that we know, even the angel here said so. She was called barren. People would call her barren. But this wonderful verse, verse 37, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And so we're going to jump down to verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Do you see that, ladies? Mother of my Lord. So the Holy Spirit entered Elizabeth, spoke through her, spoke and revealed that the mother of my Lord, her Savior. And why is it that she would come to me? Isn't that beautiful? She recognized that Mary was carrying a holy child, the promised Messiah. Verse 44. "For indeed, as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe," excuse me, "leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, and there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And we jump later in the verse 56, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." So we see this incredible portion of scripture where Elizabeth didn't know about the pregnancy. Clearly the Mary's pregnancy that at that point when she came to visit, the Holy Spirit had infilled her. And meanwhile, she just knew through the Holy Spirit that this was the holy child. And what was interesting was that baby leapt. John the Baptist leapt in her womb as confirming that this was the holy child. And so Elizabeth was at least 6 months. She was 6 months pregnant at that time and filled with the Holy Spirit right then and there. Now, we know up to that point, there wasn't a widespread filling of the Holy Spirit as we knew it later on after Jesus died after Pentecost. This was rare, but this just signified that God had chosen Elizabeth to speak, and she did. And so the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, sent Mary to Elizabeth. Why? So that Elizabeth can comfort her and Mary could comfort Elizabeth, because you have to realize they were both pregnant. They were both in a predicament which was an impossible predicament by natural terms. Elizabeth being old in age and Mary not knowing a man. So they were clearly there to encourage one another. And that's why she had to go see Elizabeth for encouragement. We see that in that story of how Mary would be able to, over those 3 months, talk about her angelic visitation and talk about just how probably difficult it is being singled out by people. Think about what Elizabeth went through. All those years of being barren and being poked at because she had no child. And so they were there to comfort one another. Isn't that beautiful? Now, verse 36 says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age." Now, some versions don't, my version that I use, I love to use New King James, that's where I always read from. And many versions will use relative, but the old, the actual King James version rather, which is the closest to the original manuscripts, says that the relative was a cousin. And the word is sugenis, in Greek. I should be brushing up on my Greek here. But we see that they were cousins. They were related. And we know Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi. Mary was from the tribe of Judah. Judah and Levi were brothers back in the day in the Old Testament. And so regardless, they could have been some distant cousins. But here we see that, of course, we see that they are related. And so Elizabeth finally gives birth. And here, let's look at verse 59 before we get into these incredible principles and what we learn from this passage, from this story. Verse 59. "So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zechariah. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who's called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Amazing. We see this here of just how he is now Zacharias is able to speak. His tongue is loosed and everybody recognized that he is a special child. And of course, as I said earlier, Jesus spoke of him in Matthew 11:11, saying there was no greater man born of a woman. John the Baptist himself. And so think about it. Here we see this baby finally arrives. Everybody's trying to talk about, oh, what's the baby's name going to be? Is it going to be Zacharias? You know how it is. Whenever there's a baby to be born, whether it be in your family or some friends, everybody comes up with their ideas of names. And they were startled when they found out John. Who's called John? But there was something very special about this child. And so here, all in Luke chapter 1, we see the story of Elizabeth. And after that, we don't hear anything else about her in the Bible. So look at Luke 1 verse 80. The Bible says here, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Oh, you know, think about it. Here they were. Elizabeth and Zacharias, probably just so overjoyed with having this son in their old age. But this son was not their son. Like Hannah, and we're going to talk about Hannah at another time, at a later date, but like Hannah, Elizabeth had to give this child over to the Lord for the work of the Lord. This child was not hers. She could not enjoy having him for the rest of her life. He had a duty. And so he grew strong in the Lord. We can assume that both parents, being godly in the ordinances of God, taught John so many things. And we see in Matthew 11, verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4 says, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And so clearly he led the simple life and he had a purpose to prepare the way. And when you look at Mark chapter 1, the beginning of Mark's gospel, right away it gets into the life of John the Baptist and what he was supposed to do. And so Elizabeth, undoubtedly, and Zacharias, who knew this prophecy about him, prepared him and brought him up in the ways of the Lord. Here we're just going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger, which of course is John the Baptist, before your face, which is Jesus, who will prepare your way. Jesus's way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him, and they were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We'll stop right there. So, here, as we conclude talking about that scripture, there's several little life lessons. There's things that we can learn about regarding Elizabeth. And what's the first thing we see? We see that unanswered prayer is not necessarily judgment from the Lord. Unanswered prayer is not necessarily judgment from the Lord. Let me tell you, ladies, how many of you have prayed time and time again and you thought, oh, I don't know why God's not answering my prayers. He's judging me. Clearly there is something. Look, we see the life of Elizabeth and we see the life of Zacharias, and they were holy people who followed all of God's ordinances. They were righteous. They had no hidden sin. They had no different hidden agendas in their lives and motives. And so that wasn't the reason why their prayers were not answered at that time. But think about this. Remember what the angel of the Lord said to Zacharias? The Lord has heard your prayer. The Lord has heard your prayer. Do you think he was praying when he was an old man for a child? I don't think so. I don't think this could have been prayers from yesteryear, from a while back, because clearly he even said, how is this so? I am an old man. My wife is advanced in age. How is this possible? So the Lord answered the prayer from yesteryear. So ladies, understand this. Some of you have been praying time and time again, and you've been saying, oh, when is God going to answer? Have you ever said that? Lord, when are you going to answer? All these prayers I prayed 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I still don't see them coming into fruition. But let me tell you something. God has his perfect timing. God had timing in Elizabeth's life. There was a reason why she had to conceive in her old age. It was so that God could be glorified. There are reasons, there are purposes, there is God's timing in it all. And she led a holy life. There was nothing there. So don't think, if you are crying out to God, if you are living as close as you can to the Lord, and you're wondering, Lord, why are you not answering? Is he judging you? Not necessarily. It just might not be the timing of the Lord. So understand that, ladies. We see this in Elizabeth's life. God had to be glorified. God's timing was the opposite of condemnation. So understand that in your life. And maybe there is sin. Maybe there are things that you need to put away, and things that you have hidden, and things that you have not confessed. Well, confess them before the Lord. But if your heart is pure before God, understand God has his perfect timing in how he answers. And that's what we see right here. It was until the fullness of time had come. And so we see that. Secondly, what else do we see? We see that this was all about waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Messiah. You know what? This is a story of patience. This is a story of waiting upon the Lord. You have to understand that back then, the Roman rule was very strong and cruel. And the people, the Israelites, who received so many prophecies and were waiting for a Messiah to come, a military king. This is what they expected. They probably just grew weary. Oh, is this ever going to happen? Do we believe that this is going to happen? Well, Elizabeth actually, and Zacharias, they kept before the Lord faithful. And we're going to see that when we talk about Anna the prophetess waiting in the temple, waiting upon the Lord, waiting. You know, back then people were tempted. They gave up. They thought, oh, where's God anyway? God hasn't spoken for 400 years since the minor prophets, because that was a time of silence in the Old Testament, right after all the minor prophets, 400 years of silence. And where's God anyway? But these people persisted. These people were faithful. Like today, ladies, some of us are wondering, as we wait for the coming of the Messiah, we are waiting for his return. Don't grow weary. And just because we are wondering and we're looking around and we're seeing this world, which is going to naught, and we see how polluted it is, and just the the evil that is within the world. And we think, God, are you really there? Yes, he is. He's waiting for the right timing. And so we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to watch and pray and be sober and be in his word and call out to God and making sure every single day counts unto God. And so as they were waiting and were faithful and were rewarded, you too, as you are faithful and watching for his return, you will be rewarded. So ladies, we see this incredible thing here in the story. They waited and they were rewarded in that sense. Remember, Elizabeth's name meant God is my oath. God is a God of promises. God is a God of faithfulness. He will never let you down. And so you might be struggling in your life with whatever you're going through, whatever it is, but keep on keeping on. Keep persisting. Keep calling upon the name of the Lord. And let me tell you, in due time, he will bring things to fruition, just like we see in this story. So don't think God is judging you because of unanswered prayer. Just wait upon him, as we see here in these particular promises. What else do we see in this story? Bless others whenever you have the opportunity. Bless others when you have the opportunity. Look, you see, Elizabeth, you can only imagine how excited she was when she found out she was pregnant. And of course, Mary, who was far away, became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And what ended up happening was the moment she heard the greeting, she heard Mary's voice, something happened. Verse 42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. This was Elizabeth. She's like, ah, she was so excited. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Again, she recognizes that the baby that Mary is carrying is the Savior of the world. This was all through the Holy Spirit that she recognized it, but she is crying this out. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Oh, isn't that incredible? So looking for opportunities to bless. Have you ever, let me ask you, have you ever been so excited you were bursting at the seams that the moment you saw and came home and spoke to your husband or family member or somebody close to you, and it's like, you'll never guess what happened. And you go on and on talking about your wonderful good news. And meanwhile, you forgot to ask them about their day and what happened, etc., because you were so excited. Well, in this situation, you know what? Elizabeth had great news. She was an old lady and was pregnant, but she was more concerned about blessing Mary and speaking into her life with the great news that took place in Mary's life. Isn't that a lesson to us? How we need to speak good words, how we need to bless others and encourage. You know, you have to see this, what ended up taking place here, my fourth point. And this is what Elizabeth did. She gave, or we need to give, others a reason to praise God. And so what am I saying here? Well, I'm saying that by her blurting this out first and being so excited about what was taking place with Mary, Mary in turn was so encouraged with what Elizabeth said that she broke out in praise. She broke out into a song. The Bible calls it Mary's song. You often hear these words in Mary's song. There are songs written about these particular words, which you see in verses 45. I'm not going to read all of it, but Mary broke out in praise right after that. Why? Because she was encouraged. Why? Because she was blessed. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Think about it. Are you that source of encouragement for others? Are you? Well, when we look at my fifth point, choose joy instead of jealousy. Choose joy instead of jealousy. You know, when you look at this situation, here was Elizabeth. She was barren all those years, and a miracle took place in her life. And Mary comes along, and Mary, even though Elizabeth recognized that Mary was carrying the Messiah, this was a greater blessing than John the Baptist was, a greater blessing. And so Elizabeth could have been jealous. Elizabeth could have thought, well, we served God all our years and we were following the Lord. Why does this young girl get the promise and I don't? She could have been jealous, but she wasn't trapped in that spiral of comparison. Do you compare with other people? Do you compare and say, well, you know what? My friend so-and-so has a new car, but all I have is this old rugged car that barely runs, and you almost scoff when they get that car. Do you get jealous when you see other people being healed and you say to yourself, well, why didn't it happen to me? Why didn't I get that blessing? Why didn't I get that promotion? Jealousy runs rampant. We see that in the Old Testament with Joseph and his brothers. They were extremely jealous. And we see that today, the jealousy in families, when it comes with siblings or other family members, there's jealousy, there's feuds. They don't talk to each other. Oh, why did you get more of an inheritance than me? And jealousy breaks up friendships. It breaks up families. But in this story, we see Elizabeth. Oh no, she was overjoyed with what Mary was experiencing. She learned to rejoice. Can you learn to rejoice in your situation? You have to be at a place where you can say, you know what? God has me right here and it's good because he allowed this. And so I rejoice in that. If you can learn to rejoice in where you're at, in the sense that God is looking after you, and not be jealous of what's happening to your neighbor, what's happening to the other person in church, you know what? There's a special blessing for you. And we see that with Elizabeth. Oh, she was overjoyed. She did not fall into the comparison trap. What else do we see in this scripture? Well, through the testimony of Elizabeth, we can see that even though we can be advanced in age, God still can bring forth life in a situation. He brought life to this woman, well advanced in years. You have to think about it. Mary was just a teenager. Talk about a contrast, just an adolescent when she was pregnant with Jesus. And her older cousin, who was well advanced in years, was at the opposite end. You see, God is no respect. He will not bless you because you're young or middle-aged, and he'll forget you when you're old. Oh my goodness, there are too many biblical characters whom God used in their old age when you think about it. Of course, Daniel was a teenager when he was taken to Babylon, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put in the fiery furnace. They were adolescents. God used that situation so he could be glorified. And then Daniel, when he was put in the lion's den, he was in his 80s. And so don't scoff or don't belittle the fact that you might be older. How can God use you? Oh yes, God can use you. You just have to be open for opportunities, look for the opportunities, and look to be a blessing. Another point is that God places people in our lives just at the right time. When we see Mary and everything that she had gone through, and we're going to talk about Mary next time in this Christmas mini series, if you want to put it that way. We're going to talk about her next time. But if you see Mary, she was just a young woman, but yet God put her in that situation, brought her cousin to encourage her in her life and give her wisdom and guidance and spend those 3 months together where they can talk about the miracles of God. God knows when to put the people in your life right at that time. And Mary needed it because this was a frightening situation. No one ever had a conception through the Holy Spirit, and since then hasn't. And so she lived this situation alone, but yet she had to be paired up with Elizabeth, who in her old age received a miracle. And so God puts those people. So look out for that in your life. Look out for the friendships that God will build based on what you're going through, because this is the kind of faithful God we serve. And lastly, we are reminded that we are seen by God. You know, Elizabeth could have thought, oh Lord, you have forgotten me. I have worshiped you. I have been living my life in every single way for you, living righteously, and you have forgotten me. But the Bible says, he saw her reproach. He was faithful. God is my oath, as her name means. And so God saw her. He saw what she went through. And ladies, he sees what you're going through. You might feel like you're so alone. You might feel like you're so forgotten. You might feel like those prayers that you have sown years ago, oh, does it make any difference? Well, seriously, in this situation, they prayed. Clearly, they wanted a child. And maybe they weren't praying for a child in their old age because they thought, oh, that's not going to happen, but we're going to continue waiting for the Messiah. But Gabriel said, God heard your prayer. And so the prayer of the past. So ladies, you might be praying for something. You might not be seeing it right now, but hold on. Keep praying. Don't let go. Be a woman who is waiting. And this is how we see the life of Elizabeth. Can you be that woman today? We can all be Elizabeths. What an incredible testimony she held. She held a testimony of faithfulness, of following the precepts and ordinances of God all of her life, and clearly lived a righteous life. And God, at the right time, answered that prayer. Can we be women like that who will continue to hold on? We'll continue to hold on for the hope of our Messiah, because we're going to see him soon. He is coming soon. He can come this very night. Are you ready? This is the key question. And so can we be women like Elizabeth, who are waiting, who are in his word, who love him with all of our hearts? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, we once again thank you for your word today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, O God, that as we read, nothing is impossible with God, as the angel declared. And Lord Jesus, in our own situations, Lord, there may be women out there who feel very hopeless, who feel like all hope is gone. But Lord, as we learn through this example of Elizabeth, she held on. She waited upon the Lord. She trusted in you. And Lord, you rewarded her. And Father, I thank you for this wonderful example. And Lord, I pray for any woman out there who is struggling right now, who needs that reassurance, may you infuse them to continue to trust you, to continue to sow in tears as they pray, because Lord, we know that joy cometh in the morning and you will surely answer, because you are a faithful God. God is my oath. God is my promise. And so, Father, we declare that today. And we thank you for what you are going to do. And as we are in this Christmas season, I pray, Father, we would not be like Martha. We think of Mary and Martha. Martha was so busy with everything that was going on. And sometimes we're busy with the Christmas season, but we don't spend time at the feet of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that lots would change in women's lives today, those that are watching, that Lord, they would make it a point to spend time with you this holiday season like they never have before. We rejoice not only in the fact that you came, but that you are coming again. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm excited because next time we are going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And sometimes, oh, we think we know everything about her. But this was a woman who suffered. And I tell you, God in the end, there was a blessing that maybe some of you don't even realize. And so you want to join me next time as we talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so ladies, God bless you and make sure that you live today to the fullest. Make today count in the kingdom of God. God bless you and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.